Hi, this is your host, Nisa Harris, and you are listening to Shomea Ve'ona Tehillim and Other Hebrew Texts Podcast, episode 135. The following is the recitation of Psalm 123, aka Perek or Mizmor Kuf Chaf Gimel. After the recitation, stay tuned to hear more about this Mizmor. Shir Hamalot Elecha Nasati Et Einai Hayoshvi Bashamayim Hine Cheinane Avadim El Yad Adonehem Keine Shifcha El Yad Gevirta Kain Inenu El Adonai Eloheinu Ad Sheyechanenu Chanenu Adonai Chanenu Ki Rav Savanu Vuz Rabat Sav'a La Nafshenu Hala'ag Ha'sha'ananim Habuz Lig'ei Yonim. Psalm 123 continues the Shir HaMalot series. This is a short psalm with only four psukim that may have a correlation to water, which may follow an underlying theme throughout all of the Shir HaMalot, and you can see art scroll for more on that theme. The psalm seems to start off in the first person and then switch to the plural form. As opposed to in Psalm 121, where the eyes of the narrator seem to have drifted up into the mountains, wondering where help will come from, here in Psalm 123, the author clearly knows where to raise their eyes, as it describes in Pasuk Aleph, Elecha nasati et einai hayoshvi bashamayim. To you I have lifted up my eyes, you who thrones in the heavens. It then goes on to describe both the male and female version of the slave looking up to the hand of their master, stating that this is how we look up to Hashem, awaiting his grace or favor. At first, this seems to be a form of subjugation, which some commentaries explain away as when we are an eved to Hashem, when we are what is more strictly translated as a slave to Hashem. We are not slaves to human. That's the plus side. In fact, when Hashem took us out of Egypt from slavery under the rule of man to freedom, the following pasuk explains that it was to be an eved Hashem. It feels kind of uncomfortable to say, okay, so are we saying that we went from basically one form of slavery to another form of slavery? However, I think it's important to first understand the difference in kind of the relationship first, before focusing on the perspective of subjugation. I see two root words repeated a few times in this psalm, namely ayin, eye, and chen, grace or favor. This author is choosing Hashem as the one they look towards, and it's professed in a quality that feels like a choice to be subjugated, because they believe so strongly in Hashem's grace. There isn't a fear described in this psalm, just a nuisance against and a prayer to be saved from those haughty ones who they have been dealing with that, what, as we have described in all the latest Mizmorim, they don't believe in him, Hashem. This is a different quality of a relationship than the Jews that were enslaved under the rulership of man, where they were uncared for and seen as a number and not taken care of. Here, they are literally praying to Hashem, asking him to help stop the contempt that exists against the faith that he is someone to be worshipped. Okay, now to be devil's advocate for a moment, one could argue that it sounds almost brainwashed. Like, if you wanted to argue an extreme example, how do we know it's not some sort of Stockholm syndrome effect, where they started to have positive feelings within an abusive slave master type of situation, and this is just the typical expression of love for their captor and disdain against anyone who doesn't appreciate the good in their master? This is actually a pretty typical argument that atheists will bring up against religion. Aside from the fact that you don't typically see the post-traumatic stress symptoms of Stockholm syndrome on everyone that believes in God, among a bunch of other psychological and physical results, if you think through what our religion is actually based on, then you can recognize that it is most definitely not an abusive, subjugating religion. Atheists will claim that the same way that the Stockholm syndrome reaction is a coping mechanism, where they have to deal with a situation that they have no other choice but to submit and there's no way out of, they say this is what happened when Hashem took us out of Egypt. And as the Midrash portrays, he holds the mountain over us until we agree to do and listen to what Hashem has to say. It does come across a bit under duress when you look at it that way, and like maybe we didn't really have a way out and we're kind of forced to accept the commandments on ourselves. But my husband pointed out that the Gemara goes on to explain that in the Purim story, there was the time of Kimu Vikiblu. We will uphold and accept it. And there was no mention of Hashem at all throughout the whole story. The nation of Israel, out of their own convictions, recognized that maintaining their identity and connection to Hashem was actually what served themselves best in that situation, that there was a relationship that needed to be honored and cherished there, not because they were being forced by God, but because they were his people and they could turn to him for help, as this psalm describes. Religion can seem to take an oppressive view, especially the fire and brimstone point of view, where religion claims to know what happens after this life. The reality of the Jewish religion is that while we have some theories, we don't actually truly know what will happen when we die at 120 years, Bezrat Hashem. This lack of knowledge is actually what frees us and ensures that we are not brainwashed, because there isn't anything being held over our heads or threatened against us to harm us if we don't comply. We can actually choose to follow Hashem's ways because we actually find it's healthy and good for us and everyone else. Okay, phew. So now that I can better understand that I am not somehow brainwashed by an abusive deity, why is this author referring to us as slaves to him? I like how Sarah Malka Winters describes how the aide to the President of the United States can bypass all other VIP officials and see the president first. Why? Because when he walks in, the president knows that his aide is there to serve him. He comes to serve, and so he gets entry 24/7 and to help him with whatever he needs. It's a special relationship. And Abraham, our forefather, recognized that we don't have to simply be passive recipients of Hashem's kindness, but that we can actually have a role in serving him to help him fulfill his purpose in creating this world, and we can be his emissaries. Understanding this can be transformational if we let it. It's not that Hashem is saying, "I am your master, do as I say or else." Instead, it's coming from us. We voted, so to speak, following with that theme of presidency, that you are our master and we want to help you be successful and we will serve you and do whatever we can for you to help you accomplish your worthy goal. This psalm is then the request for Hashem to grant them the grace of helping them achieve their mission of spreading what they know to be good and just and kind, namely his word. Often, People get bogged down, feeling like religion is a burden that they have to carry and fulfill, or else. The reality is, it's a privilege that we get to not only be a part of something greater than ourselves, but we get to take charge and play a significant role, if we choose to, in helping Hashem achieve his mission of unity in the world. When the narrator is referring to themselves as, and us, as an Eved Hashem, a servant of Hashem, it's with the awareness of this humble privilege that they wish to make us also aware of. Where better to reinforce this concept than as one of the Song of Ascents, which helps us to tune into that which helps us create a stronger and more loving connection with Hashem and the world around us. May we humbly feel and accept the privilege of what it means to be able to serve Hashem in this world, and not feel or see it as a burden, but rather as a gracious opportunity, and be able to help others see and feel this as well. The learning and recitation for this week's episode is in the merit that those who have been in abusive or traumatic experiences learn how to have healthy, connective, and meaningful relationships.
If there is an episode that you would like to sponsor, or if you have any questions, please email me at nursenisa1@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to join the Facebook group to be aware of upcoming episodes. Please subscribe and share. Thank you for joining.